Let us read Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of God.
Well, it is good to be with you on this Lord's Day. And Sharon, I love coming here and seeing some old friends and co-workers. And we've got a great psalm for you today. So I believe if you're going through a series on psalms, I got to choose second. Someone said I couldn't pick Psalm 1 or Psalm 150, but I got to choose second. And this is a psalm that I wanted to share with you this day. Let's just go to the Lord once again and just ask for his grace. Father, now we just pray that you would quiet our hearts. We want to hear your voice. We want you to be glorified even as we listen and allow the Spirit of God and ask the Spirit of God to work in our lives and in this church. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So just a little background. I have spoke on Psalm 46 before because I was a pastor in America back in 2001, and I remember a Tuesday morning going into my office and someone coming in and saying, you need to turn on the TV. I had a TV in my office. I said, you need to turn on the TV because it looks like there's been a terrorist attack in New York at the World Trade Center. So sure enough, we turned it on, watched it, saw the second plane fly into those towers. And I realized on that morning, I can't remember what I was going to preach on, but I recognize this changes everything. And Psalm 46 was that passage I wanted to preach from because it begins with these amazing words. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And as a nation, we were just traumatized and didn't know what to do. And Psalm 46 was that word from God that was an amazing blessing to me and others. I remember also the year that my wife had cancer. And I went back to our home church, Grace Presbyterian in America, and preached from Psalm 46 because it was a season of trouble and needing God's help. And then I spoke on Psalm 46 during COVID. And that again was that season where God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. So no matter whether it's terrorism or pandemic, disease or war, this psalm is an amazing psalm. And one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is make it a psalm of your life. So in other words, it becomes a companion with you. It is a psalm that you're familiar with, like a good mate. That person who's there to speak to you, encourage you, and has just the right words in difficult days, that's what this psalm is. I recognize in a church this size, there's probably somebody, couple, family, who are going through a season where they need Psalm 46. But whether you need it today or in the future, it's there. The fact is, we often find ourselves in troubling times. And so it speaks about the mountains falling into the heart of the sea. And on 9/11, we saw the towers falling into the heart of the city. The other thing that we can acknowledge is this. It wasn't that long ago. We all went through COVID together. I want to make a few observations. I'm one of those that I think it's important for us to at least reflect on it and not just look at it in our rearview mirror. We need to think about it. And there's some reflections that I've had on it since those days. How did we handle it as a world, as a nation, as a state, as a church, as a community? How did we deal with that? And I saw a lot of chaos, a lot of anxiety. Some people very troubled. What's interesting is this. Go back into 2020. COVID was raging around the world. We, as an island nation surrounded by oceans, we were not that affected. So we were on that COVID zero track. But we saw it going around us. And we knew it was out there. What did we, as a people, as a nation, when we wanted to prepare for COVID, what did we do? Just think back with me. It wasn't that long ago. What did we do as a nation to prepare for COVID? We hoarded toilet paper. Right? That's what we did. I mean, I still remember being at Subiaco Church in the church office. And knowing that, you know, no grocery store had toilet paper on the shelves. It just didn't exist on the shelves. It was just all bought up as soon as it got there. But I remember one time our youth pastor comes to the church office and he has a container that had this 4 rolls of toilet paper. He had gone to Farmer Jack's, which was about a block away, and they just happened to have toilet paper. When he went in there and he said, they only let you buy one, but he holds this roll of toilet paper up like he's got a trophy in his hand. You know, he scored 4 rolls of toilet paper and we were just in awe. Oh, really? You found that? That was a real time. And we really thought that somehow that was going to help us. And I realize other nations did that, but we did it first and we did it best and we did it twice. It wasn't enough to do it one time. So I think it's important to us when we go through troubling, chaotic times, what are we going to look to? And I'm not sure we did all that well at that period of time. The great Martin Luther wrote his hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and he used Psalm 46 as his basis. He was very aware of evils in our world and also the spiritual warfare in our world. And so he said, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. And he found great strength and comfort in this psalm. Christians do face job loss, health issues, accidents, spiritual warfare, because that is a reality. Psalm 46 needs to be one of those psalms of our lives. You claim it as a mate and you keep it with you. I'm going to look at 3 ideas in this psalm. It breaks down very nicely into 3 different points, and they each end with that Hebrew word selah, which basically is that verbal pause. Just pause, reflect on this, think about this. Don't let these ideas go in one ear and out the other. That's what Selah is saying. Stop and think about it. So 3 parts. And I'll break down into, there's 3 P's here. I'm not a big fan of alliteration for sermon outlines, but this actually works out very nicely. So the first P is protection. Our God protects us in troubling times, verses 1-3. So it begins with this foundational truth. God is our refuge and strength. That's our starting place. That's where we start in times of trouble. God is our refuge and strength. I want you to think about the ancient world. In their day, they didn't have all the sophisticated technology and so forth to understand the weather as we do and so forth. So storms, bushfires, earthquakes, they were very disconcerting. They could not predict those type things, as we can sometimes, but that happens. And it's during those scary times that the psalmist tells us, God is our refuge and strength. But even for us today, we know there's things out there we cannot anticipate. We cannot always anticipate terrorist activities or accidents or disease. But what the psalmist does is he says this. Yeah, we're all aware of troubling times, but let's go to worst case scenario. Let me just paint a picture of worst case scenario here. And so that's where he begins. Look at verses 2 and 3. Therefore, because God is our refuge and strength, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, or topple into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And so what he does is he paints worst case scenario. So he's not thinking about nuclear winter. That would not be in his mindset. But let's think about it this way. Mountains, these things that are stable, huge, massive, they're falling into the heart of the sea. The earth crumbles. And the waters roar and foam. It's total chaos out there. Total chaos is what he says. Worst case scenario. In that situation, think with me, engage with it. In that very situation, there is no fear, for our God reigns. He is our refuge and strength. Even when everything's falling apart. This is why I want Psalm to be a psalm of your life. And I encourage you, memorize it. At least memorize these first two verses. But one of the things I would say is this. Fear immobilizes us. God, the psalmists here, they just don't want you to be in fear in this life because those things immobilize us. Just one example. Sometimes I'm around young couples or even Christian singles, and I'll hear this phrase, something that goes something like this. We're kind of afraid to bring children into this world. We see all the evil and all the problems of this world, and we just don't feel good about bringing children into this world. And this is what I mean by that. Fear immobilizes us. Here's what we need to recognize. We are the covenant people of God. And the promises of God are for you and for your children. And God is our refuge and strength, and we will put our hope and trust in Him, and therefore we will raise our children diligently to know and love Jesus Christ. And it's not easy. It is not easy. But we do not fear. We don't live in fear. Again, Martin Luther, in his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress, thinks about the spiritual warfare that's going on in his world and in ours. And he says, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, the devil himself, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure. For lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fail him. That word, Christ, the word that comes from Christ is all that needs to happen. Christ is victorious. We do not live in fear. Let me give you a quick quote. It goes like this. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. No one was there. Isn't that great? Now, to me, I don't know if fear just knocks politely at your door. It kind of bangs at your door. But when you stand at that door and Jesus Christ is by your side, there's no one out there. Even though fear would like to enter our lives, Christ gives us that peace. And so we end this section with the word Selah. Just pause and think about that. God is your protection. Therefore, we will not fear. The second thing is dealing with his provision. Our God provides for us in a chaotic world. That's verses 4-7. So the first three verses, we could simply look at it this way. What might be? And again, he goes to worst case scenario, but what might be? Verses 4-7 is what is. This is what is actually happening. And then verses 8-11 is what will be. So what is? I think the framework of thinking here is a ancient city that is besieged. So as you know, these major cities would have walls around them, whether it was the ancient Jericho or Jerusalem, there would be a wall around that city. And an invading army often would not have a frontal attack full on because it's a walled city. But they would besiege that city and surround it, try to starve them out. But the first image here is an image of the Lord provider. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. So there's a stream that comes into the city. So one of the things I've done in part of my ministry is taking tours to Israel. We had one planned in 2020. COVID knocked that out. We had about 50 people going on that one. Then we had about 50 people in 2023. And the war knocked that one out too. So that happened. But I have taken these tours. And we always go to Hezekiah's tunnel, which you see in scripture, which we recognize there was an outside water source outside the walls of Jerusalem. They engineered this amazing tunnel that you can walk through today, and there's water that comes in there. And you walk through that tunnel, and it goes into the city. There's a stream that makes glad the city of God. In other words, even when we're besieged from the outside, there's a stream that comes in that provides that source of water for the city. And I think that's the image there. He is Lord the provider. So in the first section, we see waters that roar and foam. But here, it's a stream that makes glad the city of God. So there's an image of God as the provider. Then there's this image of the warrior God. The presence of God with us changes everything. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So at daybreak, that's when the siege takes up again. So at nighttime, again, the siege quiets down. But the active part of the siege is when the day breaks, when the dawn breaks. But what happens is that God is within her. She will not be moved. He is our warrior God beside us. For Christians, when we think about this, when dawn breaks, the first day of the week, when dawn breaks, when morning dawns, we go back to that scene in the garden and the women come to a tomb. Look over at Matthew chapter 28. I'm just going to read a few verses there, but Matthew 28, beginning verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day. So now we're thinking about the dawn when the morning comes. The dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. I'm going to move down to verse 5 because they find out that it's not occupied. Verse 5, but the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Again, fear can be a very much a part of our life experience. But the angel says, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said, come see the place where he lay. For Christians, when we think of the break of day, and that great historic event that happened outside the walls of Jerusalem, Jesus, the great warrior, has defeated sin and death for us. God is within her. She will not fall. And when we think about Christ being within us, there is that victory that we have because of Christ who defeats sin and death. The third image is the nation's rage, the kingdom's totter. So there's chaos among the nations until the Lord speaks. There is chaos today among the nations, but God will speak. Now, verses 7 and 11, these are identical verses, if you notice. They begin, the Lord Sabaoth, or Yahweh Sabaoth. Sabaoth is the ordinary Hebrew word for armies. So he's the Lord of armies. He leads the angelic armies. He's that warrior God. So how does God provide for us today? So we say God protect us. He's our refuge and strength, but he also is the one who provides for us. How does he provide for us today? I think he provides for us in the gospel. He provides through the love of Christ. Those who know Christ, those who are in Christ Jesus, know the love of Christ for us. That Christ's work on the cross was out of love for us. He died for sinners like you and me. Secondly, he provides for us through his presence and his promises. We are never alone. I will never leave you or forsake you. And the promises of God are there for us to hold to and cling to. Again, look over at Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to highlight a few verses. We read these earlier, but I want you to think about this again. The promises of God, the presence of God. Verse 35, Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So the gospel speaks about Christ's love for us. Who's going to separate us from that? So let's just think about it. Worst case scenario again. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, all of those things are horrible. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. God's people understand the trials and temptations of this world and the tribulations. But here's his answer to that question. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, so forth? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's God's provision for us. We are more than conquerors. We do not live in fear. We live in faith. Selah. Just let that sink in. Register. Ponder that. Don't let it go into one ear and out the other. What can separate you from the love of Christ? We are more than conquerors, even in times of tribulation. The third point, another P, peace. We have peace because God will stop the chaos. So this is what will be. Come, behold the works of the Lord. So we're going to be seeing these things through eyes of faith. Okay? I'm not saying it's happening now. I'm saying it will happen and you and I see them through eyes of faith. So at first he says, let's celebrate God's acts in history. God has acted in history. Certainly in the coming of our Christ, our Messiah, our Lord, and his death, burial, and resurrection. We look at what he has done. But also what will be. So look at through eyes of faith, verses 9 through 10. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. Now, in my world, that hasn't happened yet. But he will. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. So all of these instruments of war, gone. That will not be a part of our future. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This is what will be. Be still. he tells us. I think there's a sense of peace. So I've used there's water in the first two sections. So there's chaotic waters. The waters roar and foam in the first three verses. Then there's a stream that makes glad the city of God. It provides for God's people. But here I would go back to Psalm 23, where he leads me beside quiet waters. In other words, there's this sense of peace and calm that will be, that we have in our God. So even though there's things that rage around us, we can enter this peace. Be still, he says, and know that I am God. God ceases the chaos. We cease the fear, the anxiety. God protects, he provides, and he gives us peace. Cease your fear and cease your anxiety. Be still and listen to God. Let me, I'm going to wrap this up in just a moment, but I want to tell you a story. Chuck Swindoll, who is a very well-known pastor in America. And at first he was in California, where he became very well known. He had a radio program that went throughout the United States and probably the world called Insight for Living. Every year he would write books, and every year there were bestsellers and the Christian bestseller, but a very popular pastor. But he tells a time when his family was young and he just got really busy. He was in demand. He had just come back from an international trip where he was speaking. He was going to land in LA, be at home for a couple days, and then he was going to go off on another trip. And he recognized he was overbooked himself, and he was on edge. And he said, I knew I was on edge when around my family, and they all picked up on it. But then this is what happened. He said, I was sitting in my office at home, and my little girl, my youngest daughter, knocks on the door, and she says this, Daddy, Daddy, I want to tell you something, but I'll tell you really, really, really quickly. And he says, at that point, I realized what I was doing to my family. How frustrating I was making it life for them. And so he calls her in. He says, sweetheart, come here. I want you to tell me what you want to say, and you can say it slowly. Well, then she does something even better. She stands next to her father, puts her hands on his cheeks, and then looks in his eyes and says, then you need to listen slowly. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I think that's what God's telling us here to do. You need to listen slowly. I realize your life is going 100 miles an hour sometimes, or kilometers, or whatever you want to measure it in, but it just seems like it's out of control sometimes, and it's speeding along. And what God is saying, I want you to be still for a moment and know that I am God and I am in control. And the nations may rage and be in uproar, but I will bring peace. Again, let me just suggest there may be someone here who is in the midst of a Psalm 46 season in your life, a time that's troubling, but God is our refuge and strength. God is our protection. God is our peace. Again, Martin Luther put it this way. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Even though it seems like these trials and tribulations flood into our lives, we have this mighty fortress who is our God, and he never fails. Selah. Ponder that. Think about it. Let it resonate in your heart and mind. Pray with me. Father, we do thank you for the Word of God that's given to us as this amazing gift that shows us the way of life, the way of hope and salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. but also guides us in life. Reminds us of your greatness, your faithfulness. And that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, get to claim you as our God, our Redeemer, our Savior, our friend, our helper, our fortress. For these things, we worship and praise you today, tomorrow, and in eternity. You are worthy. In Christ's name, amen.